You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hi, I'm Manu Franklin, a GB canoe slalom athlete.
Yeah, I'm Joe Clark. I am the Olympic champion from Rio 2016.
I'm Joe Fraser, Team GB gymnast.
Hey, my name's Emma Wilson. I'm a windsurfer. I'm really happy to be selected for Team GB for Paris 2024.
This is Anything But Footy, the Olympic and Paralympic podcast, covering the games all the time rather than once every 4 years. I'm Michael.
And I'm John, and we're en route to Paris, along with the Aquatics GB swimming team after a successful Olympic and Paralympic trials.
Coming up, we've spent the week at the London Aquatic Centre for the swimming championships, where if you won and you had the qualification time, well, it was simple. You booked your seat on the Eurostar to Paris.
We'll hear from world champions, returning Olympians and Paralympians, new names, and those still holding out for a call from Team GB.
Two-time Olympian, be amazing. You know, it's like every athlete's dream.
Not on the plane, but the train. Hopefully there's a business class or a first class we can get bumped up to like they did for Tokyo.
It's a packed podcast, that's for sure. You can always get in touch with us, see what we're all about. You can find us across all the social media platforms. Just search for Anything But Footy, or you can find us online at our website. You can send us a message through the contact us form at anythingbutfooty.com. So let's begin then with the Aquatics GB Swimming Championships. As we discussed, Aquatics GB is a new name for what used to be called British Swimming, but they are hoping for just as much success in Paris as they delivered in Tokyo 3 years ago. Remember that record-breaking haul of medals? 4 golds, 3 silvers, and 1 bronze. It was the most successful games for the swimming team. And that's what we're focusing on again in this episode. As we said, we've spent the past week at the London Aquatic Centre, host venue for the swimming and the diving at London 2012, and this week staging the first ever fully integrated Olympic and Paralympic British trials. We'll focus on the para stars in a moment, but first, the British world champions and medalists who will be hoping to do the same for Team GB this summer in Paris. And I think, John, only one place to start, and that is Adam Peaty. He's back, not quite back to his best. We'll come to that in a moment. He is bound for Paris 2024 and the Olympic Games, and the three-time Olympic champion swam a time of 57.94. Now, remember, in 2015, he broke a world record in that 100 metres, and that was a time that was just 0.02 quicker than the time that he swam in these trials this week in that 100 metres breaststroke. So he has booked his place on Team GB, and afterwards he spoke to John for Talk Sport about what it means.
I'm absolutely loving it. Of course, you still get nervous. Of course, you're still like, oh, I doubt yourself and whatnot, but it's a good place to be now.
Three Olympics, what would that mean to go there and get a third gold?
I mean a lot. I mean, that would just be a fairy tale. I won't say ending, I'd say it would be a fairy tale there.
So Adam Peaty telling Talk Sport and our own John Cushing what it means to be going to Paris 2024. And don't forget, Talk Sport is an Olympics broadcaster this summer. They will have the Olympic Games in full across TalkSport and TalkSport 2. You'll be hearing both of us during the 3 weeks, the build-up and then the opening ceremony and the 16 days of competition. Looking forward to being with TalkSport for that in the summer. Other mentions, we should say Matt Richards, the 2023 200 metres free champion. He held off challenges from fellow Olympic gold medalist Tom Dean and Duncan Scott to take the 100 metres free title and gain automatic qualification. What a race that was.
It's really exciting. I can't wait to see what we can do together in the summer. But yeah, I'm just super pleased with that result for me. You know, I thought I could have gone a little bit quicker tonight, but it wasn't quite there. My execution around the breakouts was pretty poor. My last 15 metres felt like it went on forever, but you know, those are all things we can tighten up into the summer.
What does it mean to be on the train, the Eurostar, to Paris?
It's really special. Yeah, it's really special. I mean, it doesn't get any less special. You know, every time it's always really exciting and an amazing opportunity.
Men's 200 metre freestyle champion. That feels good.
Yeah, absolutely it does. Absolutely. You know, last year I managed to sneak away with a win on that. You know, this year able to back that up and do the same thing is fantastic. And you know, obviously to come away from the week with three nomination times for me is fantastic. I couldn't have asked for much more than that coming into this. So lots for us to improve on, lots to tighten up and get better at. But you know, what an exciting summer we've got coming up.
You mentioned Duncan Scott through, but you beat the Olympic champion Tom Dean, who won't defend his title.
Yeah, I mean, I said to him at the end of the race, you know, it's so bittersweet, you know, because in a perfect world, we'd love it if all of us could get in and race and try and come away with a 1-2-3-4. You know, that would be the perfect world. But, you know, there's always going to be somebody that just misses out with that two per nation rule. And, you know, Dino's a phenomenal talent and he'll be a huge key to that 4x2 relay and the success we'll hopefully have in that. So, you know, it's not like we won't see anything of him. You know, we'll see him in that 4x2, see him in the 4x1, we'll see him in that 2IM as well. So he's got an amazing week still to come. But yeah, unfortunately, that is, you know, that's the way of the sport.
Matt Richards there. He also bagged a 50-metre spot, by the way. Turning our attention to Freya Colbert. She recently won the gold medal at the World Championships in the 400 metres individual medley. Now, she swam a personal best time to qualify, just getting ahead, by the way, of Katie Shanahan, who will also look to try and be part of Team GB in the summer. And for Freya, it was actually her second title of the week.
I think there's definitely some pressure, like it's always a close race between me and Katie, and I think it was almost worse coming straight off Worlds into Bucks because Katie was there, and I think I was quite nervous then and I felt the pressure quite a lot in terms of like I'm supposed to be the world champion. If I can't even win at Bucks, then what does that sort of say? But Dave and like our psych support did a really good job of kind of bringing me back down to earth a little bit. Like, it doesn't matter, like obviously Katie wasn't in Doha, I won the race that was there and the race that was in front of me, and this is a completely different circumstance, a completely different competition, completely different race. And so I think it's nice to have that kind of notch in my belt, but I definitely don't carry it around like a weight. I feel like when people announce me as like the world champion, I'm like, oh wait, like what? Like, my day-to-day life hasn't changed at all, and I'd like to say that I don't think I've changed, and the relationship me and Katie have, I think, is so special. And so I was really happy and excited to share that moment with her, no matter kind of which way the race went.
How important is it for the wider sport of swimming that with you and Katie there's a rivalry, there's a friendship, but there's a story to tell there as we build to the Olympics?
I think it's really important, it's really exciting, and people are talking a lot about the commercialisation of swimming at the moment, and so really getting our stories out there and is really a step in the right direction. But I think if people want to look, there is that story, there is that excitement there, and like, it's not deliberate, we've just grown up together, and I'm so happy to say that I am really good friends with a lot of my competitors. I think you can look in other sports and in other disciplines and you see that rivalry and it's like, are they friends, are they not? But I'm really happy to say that, like, I do consider them some of my best friends. The amount of time we spend together when we go to altitude, and just like swimming in Britain is quite that small world when you're at the top. And so I think the story's there if people want to look into it, and it's a really nice story. And I mean, it's my life and I try to tell it as well as I can, but it's definitely, I hope everyone can experience something like we have.
Just finally then, how excited are you now to be on the train, as it will be, for Paris?
Yes, not on the plane, but the train. Hopefully there's a business class or a first class we can get bumped up to like they did for Tokyo. But I'm really looking forward to it. Like, Paris is such a nice city, and I think it's cool going somewhere really far away like we did for Japan for Worlds and for the Olympics last time. But it being in Paris is so nice because, like I say, our family friends can come and just have that crowd and that home support. Is going to be really, really great.
Freya Colbert speaking to me there, and the 200-metre medley was her third selection for Paris. Connor McInnes was the first British swimmer to book her place in Paris at the start of the meet. The Scottish 22-year-old broke the national record in the women's 200 metres butterfly and beat British teammate and current world champion Laura Stevens in the process.
That's insane to hear. Yeah, to be the first one to go under the time and win my event, yeah, it's really special.
And you've just finished, but what will it mean to go to the Olympics?
Oh yeah, everything, I guess. It's sort of every athlete's sort of dream to go to the Olympics. So yeah, I'm no different to that, and I think now just sort of reshift my focus to sort of training for that and seeing how well I can do out there.
When did you know you were going to get Laura? Just at the finish?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, I saw I was catching her down the last 50, but you can never really be certain what she's got left and things. It was just making sure I sort of didn't go off, and I know I've got a good finish, and just make sure I kept building through the last 50.
And I'll finish my section of this roundup with World, European and Commonwealth Games champion Ben Proud on his way to Paris 2024 for his third Olympics. Hasn't got an Olympic Games medal though, unbelievably. It was a brilliant 50 metre freestyle victory at the Aquatics GB Swimming Championships in London. He swam his fastest time in 6 years. It was a time of 21.25 seconds and that has qualified him for Team GB.
This is the second time in my swimming career that I've had my whole family. First time that I've had extended family coming to watch under the same roof, and this really just shows why I've had to disappear for 13 years doing the sport and the sacrifices, and you know, hopefully they can just see a little glimpse and be happy and share a little moment as a family together.
It's been a great British Championships, but you've had to wait a while before getting in the ball.
Yes, yeah, but this is also as planned, because the Olympic Games will be exactly the same scenario, and I love watching the Olympic trials. The young guys coming through, Ollie Morgan, Kathleen Dawson, like really showing her capabilities to come back onto the team. And then just the rest of the senior guys just having a good race and seeing where they're at and using this as a real platform for the Olympics. You know, clearly you'd love to have the whole collection and do it all, but I've put myself through hell trying to get that Olympic medal, and I just don't want to set any, you know, real hard standards for myself. Tonight, all it was just doing my race as I wanted to, and that's exactly how I'll focus going into the Olympics. But you know, clearly once you're in the final, it's a race, and if I can get that medal, it'd be fantastic.
Ben Proud talking to me at the Aquatics GB Swimming Championships in London. As we heard from Freya Colbert earlier, the female swimmers are hoping to start matching the men for individual medals at the Olympics. Now, of course, it is very cyclical. Think Adlington in Beijing in 2012, and the female para swimmers certainly stronger than the British men at the moment, as pointed out to us in our last pod by Chris Spice, the Aquatics GB Performance Director. But the recent World Championships that we saw in Doha earlier this year and Budapest last year, and these British performances this week, really show that the female swimmers are coming strong for Great Britain. One of them was Kathleen Dawson, who won the 100 metre backstroke to book her place in Paris, and she has quite the story, as she told Michael.
It was the year of 2021. I'd just qualified for the Olympics. We went out to Europeans. The week I got back from Europeans, I felt something like shot down my leg. It was like electricity. It turned out I had a bulging disc in my, I want to say it's like S1, L1 region of my spine. And that was giving me sciatica. So I competed for the Olympics with sciatica. And then straight after the Olympics, it was like my back just went, right, you're done now, and just gave up on me. I couldn't like bend over to put socks on. It was hard just getting out of bed. So yeah, it had been a real struggle at that point. Because I knew that this was, if I was going to come back, this was the goal I had to set for myself, to be back, to make the Paris Olympics.
Do people underestimate the toll it is to become an elite athlete, or was it just you and you were unlucky?
I think I'm kind of unlucky in that sense. I think I've got, it's a hereditary, well, genetic thing for me. But I mean, it does take a lot of stress out on you. And like I said, I think you don't have to take it, the sport, too seriously. Like you don't have to live it day in, day out, and like put this physical stress on your body that maybe you think you need to. And I found that like I've been able to reduce my meters in the pool and come back and do this, so it's been a learning curve for everybody, I think.
And can you go to Paris and enjoy it more this time because of the journey, if you like?
I mean, I definitely enjoyed it the last time because I knew that our team was going to come out with a gold medal. Like, I knew we were going to do that, but going into it this time with not feeling any like pain every day, that'll definitely be a big plus.
Kathleen Dawson, incredible stuff. Now, Abby Wood won the 200 metre medley after coming second in the 200 metre free, and so she booked her place in Paris.
Yeah, I think the 200 IM is always my baby, but events like this is like it's just really fun for me, and less pressure, less like expectations on myself. Like, I just wanted to race my teammates, and that's what we did. So yeah, it's weird, but it makes training a lot more fun and interesting, and I'm very lucky to be able to like pick and choose the seasons go, which one's working for me and which one's not, and 2-3 is working for me this year, and I'm really lucky for that.
Strength in depth for the British women in the 200, catching the men up.
Yeah, that's the goal. Like, the boys set such a good example, and we got a silver in Doha, and I think that just gave us like a lot of faith in the team, and even with Freya Anderson not in that race, like, I know when she joins us, we'll be just even more strong, so yeah.
And personally, you mentioned about the Olympics, the second one, the first one's special, the second one's even better.
Yeah, I just think like longevity in a sport like this is really difficult because it's so intense. Like, it's 24 hours of training a week, like, it's not a light sport that you can dip in and dip out of, and I think my motivation on Olympic year is so much higher just because I had such a good time last year, and yeah, to be able to do it twice, like, I just wouldn't have even believed I'd gone to one, so going to two is just a dream come true.
Abby Wood. Now, Olympic relay champion Anna Hopkin will also be back at the Olympics after winning with a qualification time in the 50-metre freestyle.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I've been a little bit quicker so far this season, but obviously when you've got the pressure of a time to get, it adds a little another dimension to it. So I'm just really happy that I managed to deliver a good time when it mattered and get that time I needed to go to Paris. So yeah, really happy.
When do you start reflecting on Tokyo and start looking at the next one?
It's quite hard not to always compare to last Olympic year, and I think that's why I struggled quite a lot the couple of years after Tokyo, just because I was constantly comparing to the times I was doing there. But you know, sometimes you've got to almost take a few steps back to take more steps forward. So kind of had a lot of talks with my coach Mel and come to that realization, knowing that when it came to this year we were going to step on even further, and so far I've been doing a lot better than last Olympic year, so that gives me a lot of confidence.
And does this one feel different just because of the global circumstances? We've not got a virus, for example.
Yeah, I mean, my dad was just presenting me with the medal and he couldn't even come watch last time, so that's like amazing for me, and to have my family and friends here supporting, and for them to actually be here when I qualify and hear that I'm actually going is obviously an amazing feeling, and I'm excited to celebrate with them.
And you and the other guys will have a bit of a target on your back this time, for example, which perhaps you didn't have that pressure last time around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we were favourites going into the last Olympics, but a little bit under the radar still. We'd really come into our own that year. So there obviously is that little bit of pressure, but as long as we just swim our own races and stick to our plans and just try and rise to the occasion, then anything can happen.
Great to catch up there with Anna Hopkin en route to Paris for the 2024 Olympics. And as with all Olympic sports, it's always a bonus when you have stars returning and hoping to carry on their Olympic story. Olympic, World, European and Commonwealth Games champion Duncan Scott booked his place in Paris this summer. The Scottish swimmer, who finished second in Thursday night's 100 metres freestyle final, won the 200 metres individual medley ahead of Olympic champion Tom Dean.
The events I do, there's such good quality in it that, you know, I usually get to race internationally with a teammate as well, so we have a wee laugh in the quorum or whatever. And, you know, I think, you know, me and Dino have been in the quorum so many times together, you know, I think we make each other relax, and same with Jim and Matt. So, but yeah, no, you know, I try and, you know, pressure's a little bit of a privilege, and, you know, to be in that final is just so special, you know, as you've just said it, or what Bob said, you know, it's such a special environment to be in. So can I try and cherish it now? You know, every time I'm in that sort of position, just kind of cherish being in those finals and trying to perform at a good level.
This is Anything But Footy, the Olympic and Paralympic podcast. Some swimmers still have an anxious wait for selection, and we'll hear soon from those who hit the mark for Paralympics GB2.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to Anything But Footy, and these Aquatics GB Swimming Championships held by Aquatics GB at the London Aquatics Centre this week. And the Litchfield brothers are also back on the Olympic stage. A bit of a surprise in the men's 100 metres butterfly, as Joe became British champion and booked a relay spot in Paris, while his brother Max broke the British record in the 400 metres medley.
I'm thrilled with that. I'm thrilled.
like I say, to come in here with the goal was to make the team, and I take that off, and like I say, to get the British record along with that is just cherry on the top of the cake. So I knew if I had the opportunity, I had a chance. And you know, thankfully, you know, someone's looking down on me and help me through, and the support of everyone else on the side. You can name a million people that have helped me get here, and yeah, it's just amazing to be back, and just to be swimming this fast is great, and you know, it gives me a lot of confidence the rest of the week and obviously into the rest of the year.
How did it feel just to be back out there tonight, competing, winning, qualifying?
Yeah, it's amazing. I just kind of said to myself, I sat down on my own a little bit in there before I walked through, and you know, just gave myself a little, you know, just settle myself down and gave myself a little rain check, and just said, look, I know I've been through a lot of rubbish over the last couple of years, and if I can come through that, I can do this tonight, and you know, thankfully it paid off, and like I say, just thrilled to have gone so fast and to have, like I say, made my third Olympics.
No doubt who was one of the happiest winners of the week. That was the Welshman Dan Jervis, also returning to the Olympics. He secured a place in the 1500 metres freestyle.
Oh my goodness, it gets so much harder as I'm getting older. Everyone says, oh, you get used to it. No, you don't. Like, I'm 27 now. Like, it hurts so much more then than it did 3 years ago when I was 24. So, I mean, 10 years ago, this competition is where my life changed. I qualified for the Glasgow 2014 Commonwealth Games, and like every 1500, I've done loads of them now, but you learn something different every time, and you know, there's been many 1500s where I've made mistakes, and that's where you learn it. Yeah, it's great to have moments like this where you're like celebrated and everything and you feel as if everything's gone right, but it's where you don't do, it's where you make mistakes, that's where you learn, you know. So
you're clutching the medal, obviously, but tonight was about the time. You're not then aware in the pool if you're on that time until you finished.
Yeah, no, I had absolutely no idea where I was. I knew I was doing all right because my coach was doing, like, he was like, it's going well, and like, you can kind of have an idea, and especially the last 300 where you can hear the crowd a little bit, and yeah, like, on the last 100, I knew I was doing all right because I could hear everyone, so I was just like, enjoy it, because you never know when these moments are going to happen again.
Very happy, Dan Jervis. Now, a lot of swimmers have said they're really looking forward to another Olympic experience, this time with crowds, because of course Tokyo was a very successful games, in fact the most successful games for British swimmers, but of course there were no spectators there to share it, no family members to share it with due to COVID. Now others are also looking forward to their very first games. Ollie Morgan qualified with a new British record in the 100 metre backstroke.
I get up every day, enjoy it, you know, I like being in the trenches, being tired, racing tired, you know, Bucks was really good. And it was, yeah, it shocked me to be that fast, but, you know, that's the fun of it. You just push it no matter where you're at and enjoy yourself. My first time was at Worlds last year. And it's just, yeah, it's such an amazing feeling being part of that team of Britain. And, you know, standing there amongst these other top athletes, you know, you've got four of the best from every country in that relay. And, you know, it's nice to see Adam back at his best, and it's, well, yeah, it could be a medal hope for sure if everyone puts what they can in.
Ollie Morgan. Now, congratulations to all who've qualified for Team GB. There will be an official announcement with the full list of the squad to come in the next couple of weeks, we understand. This is Anything But Footy, en route to Paris, and Aquatics GB have already revealed they're only taking a team of 30 swimmers for the Olympics, hoping to build on the success of Tokyo and Rio before that. But there will be some anxious waits for some swimmers. Now, Laura Stevens is one of those, a world champion in the 200 metre fly earlier this year, beaten, of course, by Kiana McInnes.
So far, I mean, I've been super happy with how I've been swimming. Training's been going great, so it looks like everything's heading in the right direction. I mean, well, to do something like what I managed to do at Worlds, you know, the dream would be Olympic final, fighting for a medal.
And Micah, I think what's interesting with Laura is that she will probably be one of the 30 that are named because of the performances that she did in Doha. But there's quite a lot of others who are a little uncertain about who they were. And you mentioned Katie Shanahan earlier.
Yeah, Katie Shanahan has already gone inside two nomination times, but is actually yet to officially secure a place on the team. James Guy and Jacob Peters were surprisingly beaten in the men's butterfly. James Wilby won a sixth successive men's 200 metres breaststroke crown, but not under the qualifying time, and was clearly disappointed with that as well. And Kieran Reid missed out on a second games by just 0.2 seconds in the 400 metres free. His girlfriend, Izzy Thorpe, will be going in artistic swimming, so he is hoping that selectors might still pick him.
I'm looking more towards Paris, and hopefully I get a ticket there. And then that's about finding, you know, 2.5 seconds. That'll put me in contention for a medal, and, you know, that's definitely due. I found 2.5 seconds since December, so why can't I do it, you know, into July? So,
Kieran, you're wearing your Team GB hat.
Yeah.
How much would it mean to be in Paris?
Oh, yeah, you know, like, two-time Olympian, be amazing. You know, it's like every athlete's dream, and I'm a bit older now. So, you know, I sat down with Jamie at the start of the season and I was like, I want an Olympic medal. I don't just want to go to Paris. So this should be a stepping stone. Obviously, as I said, gutted to have missed the time. Hoping it might be enough. Like, I might get wildcarded, or I've got 203 at the end of the week as well. So, and you know, we've been thinking about the 4x2 for that as well. Maybe trying to get in that top six. You know, like, and as well for Paris, my girlfriend's already qualified. She's doing artistic swimming. So, you know, to go there with her, that'd be amazing as well, you know.
Kieran Reid talking to me on the night of the first night, and he talked about Izzy there already going to the Olympics. It would be good for them if they can both be there and witness that. And we talked about the Tokyo Games and the Paris Games being so different this year, and I think that's what we're really looking forward to with Paris in particular. You mentioned Petey earlier, Michael. What and you've been talking about him lots on TalkSport, I know, this week. What's the feeling generally on his performance? I thought he was incredibly bubbly. I think he's talked about his potential father-in-law, Gordon Ramsay, in the Times this week as well. Obviously going out with Molly Ramsay at the moment, and really finding and discovering that passion for swimming once again.
Yeah, a second inside the qualifying time, a race of 57.94 seconds. And as we heard earlier, said how he felt so light in the pool and he was enjoying it. I think he's been at the depths of despair over the last 3 years, as he described it to you. 3 years of hell, felt broken by the sport. Many different reasons for that. Of course, he split up with his partner. I think one of the things that perhaps we've underestimated slightly is the impact of that delay to the Tokyo Games. I think certainly in a sport like swimming, and I was speaking to some of the swimming specialist journalists, if you like, those guys that, you know, are living and breathing the sport week in, week out, even more than you and I do. And they were explaining to me how the fine margins with swimming, in terms of trying to get your taper right, trying to make sure that you peak at the right time, is so much more difficult in swimming than some other sports, where you've got kind of that high impact that you have in a swimming event, in a swimming race. And I think the fact that the swimmers were all geared up ready to go in 2020, then they had to put the brakes on. They didn't really know whether it was actually going to happen in 2021, but they did it and they performed fantastically well. As I said, 4 gold, 3 silver, and 1 bronze. And then I think one of the other impacts as well, and someone suggested this to me, was the fact that we then had that Commonwealth Games in Birmingham in 2022. And I think if we hadn't had a home Commonwealth Games, we might not have seen so many of the big British names as far as swimming is concerned back at the Commonwealth Games. But you had the likes of Adam Peaty, who, you know, had broken his foot just before those games. But because it was a home Games, felt they had to come, had to compete as well. And I think that was probably another reason why Adam Peaty had so many of the challenges that he has had over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's interesting with Adam, because at the moment, he's the only breaststroke swimmer who's qualified for these Olympic Games. And you mentioned about James Wilby being absolutely gutted when he failed to reach the 200 metre breaststroke qualifying time. I think he just got under the 100 metre one. So I think he will be selected, because, of course, we need breaststrokers for the other relays as well. Not only the men's medley, but the mixed medley as well. And if not, it could be Adam potentially swimming in 7 or 8 races in that first week in Paris.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the swimmers, they could have a program potentially of 10 or 11 races, which I know they've extended the program by a night. a day and a night in Paris, so it sort of goes on one day longer than it has in the past. But I still think that is a program that is perhaps too much for someone to try and compete in all of those races. So I agree with you. I think there will be an opportunity, certainly in the relays with mixed relays and obviously the other relay races, for other swimmers maybe to come in and swim in the heats before we get then the big guns back in for the final. So that might be an opportunity there for one or two others that might miss out on individual events to go as part of a wider, a bigger relay team. You're listening to Anything But Footy, and these Aquatics GB Swimming Championships were the first fully integrated trials for the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Games. And talking of the Paralympics, Alice Tai served up a stunning swim in the women's 100 metres backstroke and bagged at the same time a Paralympic nomination time, and I spoke to her. Well, congratulations. What does it mean? I know you've won some medals in this building before, but a British champion today.
Yeah, I mean, super, super proud of myself and super honoured to be British champion. I was just talking to Poppy. She came second, and she's just off the world record now for the S1400 backstroke, which belongs to Bethany Firth, another British swimmer. So, you know, it's really exciting, and I think, you know, like, I'm really proud of myself, but also as now a senior athlete, which is crazy because, you know, like, everyone's really young now. It's really cool to see, like, the younger kids on the team, not kids, you know, but younger athletes coming up and really going from strength to strength and trying to act as a mentor for that. I'm not going to be in the sport forever. I've got to retire at some point, and I'd like to think that I can, like, pass some knowledge and, like, just some tips and tricks onto them and stuff. But it's really cool seeing everyone coming up, and, like, I think I'm getting a lot of joy from seeing other people swim well. So, you know, it's a win-win.
It's obviously lovely to see you back here, and there's been a lot happen in your life since you won all the World Championship medals. How nice is it just to be back at work swimming lengths of a pool?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I appreciated how fit I was in 2019 and how strong I was until I had a few years out having various surgeries and then came back and tried to do the exact same program. Not the exact same, my coach would not allow that, but, like, building into that, you know, I'm still not back at the training I was doing in 2019. But again, like, my body's changed. I've had, I think, 5 surgeries in 3 years, which is a lot. So just really finding where my new, like, 100% in training is and going with that, just managing everything.
You were excellent sat on the sofa watching Tokyo, but Paris will be different, won't it, for you now? What are the targets, what are the hopes, the dreams for Paris?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully not sat on the Channel 4 sofa. I love being a pundit, don't get me wrong, and it's given me an experience which I actually wouldn't change for the world. But I would love to go to another Paralympic Games. I can't believe I've only been to one. I feel like I've been in this sport forever. But yeah, it'd be great to go to Paris and just enjoy it, and then maybe get involved in punditry in the future. But, you know, I'm loving swimming more than I ever have at the moment, so I don't think I'm going to retire anytime soon, as long as I'm still having fun.
Well done tonight. Thank you.
Thanks.
Speaking there with Alice Tai, who also bagged a 50-metre free title and a place in Paris in that event as well.
And Stephen Clegg dominated the British men's Paralympic qualification, winning gold and nomination times for Paris 2024 in the 50-metre freestyle, the 100-metre fly and the 100-metre back. 22-year-old Olivia Newman-Baronius equaled the world record in the 100-metre fly and seems set to now make her Paralympics debut in Paris. Poppy Maskell, Tully Kearney, Brock Whiston, all won British titles as well, all under qualifying times. We are going to see a stellar lineup in the Paralympics as well from the British swimming team as well. It's been quite a week at the London Aquatic Centre. Michael, what stood out for me, my family came along on one of the nights as well, and they were like, wow, it was so quick. And I think what an amazing things about swimming meetings are is that there's one focus, i.e. there's not diving going on the other side of the pool and you're kind of trying to work out what to watch. While in athletics, it can be a bit like, oh, which field event am I supposed to be looking? Oh, am I on the track now? It's all in the pool. It's very focused and it is quick. There is none of this, oh, we've got to wait half an hour for the next event to come through. They are right through all the time and it's all done within 2 hours.
Yeah, you weren't on the night that I was when the lane rope broke.
No,
that's me being facetious. There was a slight delay because of a broken lane rope. But to be fair to Aquatics GB, you know, they brought out the likes of Ellie Simmons and these plastic guns that fire T-shirts and gifts into the crowd, and no one seemed to mind too much. I totally agree with you because obviously, as you know, I was in Glasgow at the World Indoor Athletics Championships a few weeks ago. I thought that was a brilliant event, the World Indoor Athletics Championships. I thought it was fantastic entertainment. But if you're a casual athletics fan and you're sat in the arena, there is a lot going on at all times. And I think often you might go to watch the races on the track. You might go to watch a high jump, a pole vault or a long jump or whatever. But there's always two or three things happening at once. And I think that for the casual fan can make it quite difficult to follow, certainly in that indoor environment. What you've got with the swimming, as you say, is just this sort of linear program from start to finish. You've got a number of races. I thought it was terrific the way that Aquatics GB put it on and built the tension through the night, didn't they? They always had the bigger races, if you like, towards the end of the evening. There were some junior finals, some B finals. The mix of the Paralympics and the integration with the Olympics, I thought, was fantastic as well. And yeah, it was a really, you know, enjoyable few days. And as, if you'll excuse the pun, really whetted my appetite for Paris 2024. And being in the Aquatic Centre, which they've officially opened, President Macron has officially opened, looks a bit like the London one when the wings were on, don't you think?
Yes, it does a little bit, yeah, to be fair. But, you know, all good ideas. There are no new good ideas, are there? There's always there's always someone that is going to come along with and go, yeah, I think we'll use that as an example. So, yeah, London, I agree with you. I think London has had a great week with the Aquatics GB Swimming Championships and the London Aquatic Centre as well. It's so noisy. When the crowd really gets behind the swimmers, it is still absolutely incredible atmosphere. So I think you're right. I think if Paris can take some of that as well, it's going to be pretty, pretty exciting. As you say, whetting the appetite very much for Paris 2024.
And final point I just want to make, and I just want to say a thank you to one of those specialist swimming correspondents and commentator, Bob Ballard, who has helped you out and helped me out this week in bringing us up to speed and everything. A man that has commentated on swimming and diving for many years. He's one of the leading swimming and diving broadcasters in the country. And he was making the point to me as well that it's just a shame with the London Aquatic Centre. It's just a bit too small now in its post-2012 reconfigured use to host a World Championship. So in terms of a swimming World Championships there, I know we've had the IPC World Championships there, but I think they need for the World Aquatics Championships, I think, a capacity of around about 5,000, and it's just a bit too small. Great venue for the European Championships when that was held, but it would be great, wouldn't it, to have a World Aquatics Championships come back to London, because I think, as we've seen in so many other sports, athletics in particular, it would be really well supported, and I think that would lift the British team as well. So yeah, that's just my final point. It would be nice to get some ambition behind maybe trying to see if we could reconfigure that somehow to bring a big championships back to London and back to this country as well. This is Anything But Footy. Don't forget, you can have your say on that or anything else that we've mentioned today. You can find us across all the social media platforms. Just search for Anything But Footy there, and John does a great job in keeping you up to date with all the Olympic and the Paralympic sport there. And you can also read our latest blogs. Probably about time we wrote a new one,
I think
honest.
It is, to be fair.
And our 2024 sporting calendar, where we are just tearing the months away week by week. And that's all on the website, anythingbutfooty.com. And do stay with us. We are en route to Paris 2024 for the Olympic and Paralympic Games.
Sports Social Podcast Network.